Welcome back. It's good. It's a good song. Works perfect right now. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gill, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. We're broadcasting live from the DeBoer Heart and Lung Center broadcast booth at Citizens Bank Park. Game two tonight. Phillies, Padres, our old buddy Nick Pivette on the mound. And Bryce Harper, he'll likely be in the lineup again. Activated yesterday, but I don't even know what that was. He was activated, and he did not make me feel like he was healthy at all. And I got Hugh over here saying, he'll be fine.
He'll be fine.
He'll move runners.
He'll move them.
Yeah,
hey,
like a slap it in second base.
He's going to go out there and he's going to make it happen.
Yeah, so. You keep saying that, and I keep wondering what the heck we have here at Bryce Harper. Here's what I do know we have with the Phillies, a team with great starting pitching, an offense we can improve upon, but a bullpen that obviously needs some help here. And I saw yesterday Andrew Filippone, Hugh, he is a host out in Pittsburgh, 93.7 The Fan. He said he's heard maybe the Pirates are a team that has some bullpen guys the Phillies would want. Also, we got to talk to him about this T.J. Watt situation because I have my eye on it, and maybe Howie Rosewood does as well. Andrew Filippone, 93.7 The Fan out in Pittsburgh, with us right now. How you doing, Andrew?
Andrew.
Joe, what's up? Is this the Hugh Douglas that was on the Eagles team that got spanked by the Steelers 27-3 in 2004?
Yeah. Wait a minute.
It was.
When's the last time y'all won a playoff game, though?
2016.
Okay.
It's a while. Eagles have won two Super Bowls since then.
I mean, you come in throwing darts, man. I mean, jeez.
Well, I just wanted to make sure I was talking to the right people. That's all. That's what you're supposed
to do. It is the same Hugh Douglas.
Well, yes. To your point, yes. Yes, it was. We came in.
What happened that day?
I don't know. Hey, they who was that? Hines Ward ran a reverse, and it was off to
the
races.
Yeah, he scored two touchdowns. You guys were 7-0. You were feeling yourself. Got put in your place, et cetera.
No, but thanks a lot. I get the gist of what you're putting down.
What happened in the title game that January? You guys went home.
What happened in the Super Bowl the next year, Joe?
Well, you won. And then since then, it's been – one more since then, and then it's been a lot of nothing.
I mean, geez.
Hold on. Before we get into anything else.
I thought we were friendly rivals.
Are the Steelers still a real franchise? Or like what are they? I feel like I'm watching the Dream Team 2011 Eagles just collecting old guys all over the place. What's going on with that team?
Good comparison. A lot of people that are anti their offseason have brought that up. I really haven't yet, but I do like that one. They have champagne mediocrity is what I call it. They're 9-8, 10-7 every year. They get bludgeoned in the playoffs. It's wash, rinse, repeat. And that's what Mike Tomlin wants. Mike wants to always be competitive. He's never willing to look at the big picture, take a step back to take a step forward. It's like when Andy Reid had complete control of the Eagles before Howie Roseman started to do his thing, he calls all the shots. He brought Aaron Rodgers here. He brought Russell Wilson and Justin Fields here last year. He brought Matt Canada here, the worst offensive coordinator I've ever seen in my entire life. He drafted Kenny Pickett in the first round. He makes these moves. The national media is out to lunch on this. They think Tomlin just has to make a meal out of the crappy groceries he gets every year. Mm. Not true. It's his kingdom. He rules. He's the supreme leader. He's the emperor. And that's why the Steelers have been a mediocre team for a very long time.
You know, I'm kind of curious because Justin Fields was there. And he looked like he was a pretty decent quarterback. What happened with that situation? Why did they ultimately end up going with Russell Wilson in that situation?
Because they made a handshake deal with him when they signed him, Hugh. They said, you come here for the league minimum. We'll give you a shot to resuscitate and revive your career. Russell also had a very, very close relationship with the most prominent minority owner of the Steelers. So it went really beyond just what happens between the lines. And I think they couldn't go back on that promise. So they were 4-2. Fields had played a shaky game in Vegas, even though they won the week before. So they decided to make a change. It was unprecedented. Never in the history of the NFL had a quarterback been benched for performance reasons with a 4-2 record. Mm. And Tomlin said, I'm the Lone Ranger. And he was right. The offensive coordinator, Arthur Smith, he wanted to stick with Justin Fields because he thought there was more there. Well, we saw Russell Wilson turn into a pumpkin at the end of the year. And Mike believes in his twisted mind that a 41-year-old Aaron Rodgers can win a Super Bowl with him. He honestly believes that he can be a difference maker and be the guy that puts them over the top. I don't see it. I think he's nuts, but that's why they decided to not bring Justin Fields back.
Yeah, it's wild. I mean, you guys have a lot to talk about. You got Aaron Rodgers out there.
That is crazy.
Yeah, that's going to give you a whole season there.
And we got Jalen Ramsey, too. He's not shy giving his opinion. This is insanity. We might trade T.J. Watt.
Well, now we're cooking with grease. All right, so let's talk through that one here. So I saw the report from Adam Schefter. You just mentioned the T.J. Watt thing. So let's unpack this, because I have my eye on this from an Eagles perspective, because as great as they were last year, they lost a lot on defense. They're very young there. And I think they could use another, you know, turbo boost to the pass rush. And T.J. Watt obviously could be that. So let's start with this. Do you think what are the chances T.J. Watt does get traded before the season starts?
Well, it's obviously on the board, because the Steelers keep doing things that their old stuck-in-the-mud media members say they won't or can't do. Oh, they'll never trade for DK Metcalf. He's too expensive. Wrong. They won't trade George Pickens after the draft. They did. They won't bring in Aaron Rodgers. They won't trade Minkah Fitzpatrick for Jalen Ramsey. They're doing aggressive, bold things. I don't really think it's making them much better, but they're going for big splashes. They're taking big swings. So I don't rule it out now. The owner said he wants T.J. Watt to wear one helmet his entire career. The owner also said he wanted to bring Russell Wilson or Justin Fields back. So that statement actually doesn't carry much weight anymore. I think it's possible, because I don't think Watt's happy with the idea that from what I've heard, the Steelers are treating the Myles Garrett contract almost like it's the Deshaun Watson of edge rusher contracts. Hey, they made a mistake. They screwed up. Just because they blew him away with money doesn't mean we have to do the same thing for you, TJ. Let's compare you more to the Max Crosbys of the world. And TJ's got to burr up his rear end. He thinks that he's better than Garrett. He's right, by the way. And so he thinks he should get paid more than him, which I respect and understand. So if the Steelers aren't willing to meet him on that, and it sounds like they're not, he's extremely unhappy, then I could see him forcing his way out, just like other guys have. George Pickens, most notably, in the last couple of months. They have a tendency now, when guys are unhappy here, to move on from them. So, yeah, I think T.J. Watt could possibly get traded.
All right, Andrew Filippone with us here, 93.7 The Fan out in Pittsburgh. All right, let's say it gets to that point, what you just referenced, and maybe it gets to the point where they're going to move off him. What do you think would be a reasonable compensation? Obviously, there'd be a bidding war, so whatever you say could get bidded up, because there's four or five teams in this. I think the Commanders in the Eagles division could be one of them. But let's play it out. Let's say 3 weeks from now, camp is starting, and they say, all right, we'll move him. What do you think the cost would be for a player of his caliber, but the age, the contract? Like, what do you think? Eagles have 13 picks in next year's draft, so they have a lot they could offer if it comes to this.
And the Steelers have tons of picks, too. You know, I really think about that now, Joe, completely differently after this player swap that they just did. You know, the Eagles once upon a time traded Kiko Alonso for Shady McCoy. The Steelers now just traded Minkah Fitzpatrick for Jalen Ramsey. I used to just live in a world where it's like, all right, maybe a first-round pick is all you get back. But maybe there would be players involved. Like, if the Eagles called up the Steelers and said, we want T.J. Watt, we'll trade you Nolan Smith in a late-round pick, I think they'd make that trade. I really do. If something like that were ever put on the table, I think they would get younger, because they could also sell it as, well, we get a player like this, we're not punting on the season with a 41-year-old Aaron Rodgers. I don't think that's very realistic or highly probable, but I think that would be the type of thing that would get Mike Tomlin's attention, especially if he thinks T.J. Watt doesn't want to play here and is too expensive and is 30 years old. So I don't know. I mean, I would think originally, hey, a first-round pick, and then you go from there, but maybe they would want a player based on how things went with the Dolphins trade.
Yeah, that opens up a whole new way of making – I mean, because that's not typical in the NFL. We brought it up yesterday.
No, it's
not.
The
last one I can remember was the Clinton Portis and Champ Bailey one, like, you know, 20 years ago.
Yeah,
we don't usually get star players who traded for star players. That's different.
Yeah, it is different. But Andrew, I'm kind of curious. You know, Coach Tomlin hasn't had a losing season in the NFL yet, but it feels like the fan base is really tired of him. Is this possibly his last season there in Pittsburgh?
No, because the owner has the exact opposite opinion of the fans, Hugh. And I actually think the way that the fans treat Tomlin causes him to dig in stronger and be more supportive of Mike.
Okay.
I said this to somebody the other day. I really think if you gave him truth serum and said, who's been the most important person in the franchise over the last 20 years, Mike Tomlin or Ben Roethlisberger, he would say Mike. He's obsessed with Mike. He loves Mike. He thinks that Mike sets the agenda for the entire franchise. He loves the way he handles himself. He loves the way that the team is always in it, that they have never gone worse than 8-8. They're always in the playoff mix. regardless of who the quarterback is. They're always in the hunt in December. Now they're getting killed in the playoffs, and that's a real dipping of the Steelers' standards. But he doesn't think Mike Tomlin's the problem at all. I mean, I think he's wrong about that. Mike's made some horrendous decisions in terms of quarterback selections and pickups and the way they philosophically have gone about things offensively. And by the way, the Steelers spend $179 million on defense. The Eagles spend $64 million. Who's getting better return on that investment? The Steelers outspend everybody. The Giants are the next closest team. They outspend the Giants by $30 million. And we were eighth in defense last year with a defensive-minded coach. So that's what really grinds my gears. Like, this team should right now have the best defense in the NFL, given the personnel and given who's coaching it, and they fall way short of that. They gave up 299 yards, for crying out loud, in the playoff game last year to Baltimore.
Yeah, that's wild. Yeah, they were non-competitive there.
All right, they had the best defense. They spent the most money.
Yeah, but now you get Hugh started. Yeah,
thanks a lot, Andrew.
Hugh's a former great defender who doesn't care about defense anymore. All right, let's end with this. You had a tweet yesterday saying stay tuned on the idea of the Phillies and Pirates, maybe a potential trade later this month. We could have two Pittsburgh-Philadelphia trades. Tell us about Bednar, who we've seen before and has been a good closer for a while, and Dennis Santana. What do the Pirates have in that bullpen, and do you think the Phillies and Pirates could match up and those two guys or one of them coming here?
Well, I think the Phillies want to match up. It's a matter of the Pirates wanting to do business here, and it's complicated because the Pirates have a GM who's hanging by a thread. He's in year six of a rebuild. They've never won more than 76 games with him at the helm, and the manager got fired at the end of May. So he's on thin ice. So that could go one of two ways. He either has to do something big to save his ass, or he doesn't really have the authority to do that because he's dead man walking. And that's why this is a really tricky situation. Now, Bednar is also from Pittsburgh, which makes it more difficult because fans, for the most part, like him, even though he's had his ups and downs. He got sent down for performance reasons, but I would easily argue that the manager who was here before, the current one, mismanaged the guy. He is perfect in save situations, and I believe he has not given up a run this year when the Pirates have a lead. So he went to Indy. He got it figured out. He's back here. He's been excellent ever since. And since Santana's one of these guys, they picked up off the scrap heap from the Yankees a year and a half ago, and he's been outstanding. The Pirates just had, I think, the lowest bullpen ERA in baseball for the month of June, better than anybody for a crappy team. They had the best bullpen, and these two guys were in charge of it, Bednar and Santana. And his ERA is in the one, Santana. But the thing he's most famous for right now, he's currently suspended because he tried to slap a Pirates fan in the face during a doubleheader.
I saw this. I didn't realize it was him.
Wait a minute. He slapped him.
I think Hugh wants him here in Philadelphia more now.
He jumped out of the bullpen to slap a man in the face because he was talking smack. That's a true story.
We need that kind of attitude in our bullpen. Get him here on the double.
Now, here's the thing I've also heard, Joe and Hugh. I think if the Pirates were allowed to make this trade, okay, the owner says, I'll give you the agency to go out and make a deal like this and trade these two guys. I think the player that they want is an outfielder named Justin Crawford. Are you familiar with him?
Yeah, oh yeah, of course,
I think they'd make that trade in a second. I think they send both guys, Bednar and Santana, for Crawford, and Crawford would be starting probably in left field for the Pirates that night. I think if that was ever put on the table for Charrington, he'd sprint to the owner's office and say, please, please, please let me make this trade. And I guess it just comes down to whether Dave Dombrowski wants a great eighth inning and ninth inning guy to get this team to the finish line this year.
Well, he might, because it's been a few years here where the Phillies have kind of danced around that kind of trade but not made the deadline. Listen, Andrew, we appreciate you hopping on. We'll be monitoring both of these, especially the Watt one. Interesting idea with the Nolan Smith thing. All right, we appreciate you hopping on, and enjoy the rest of your week, and happy July 4th. Thank you.
Yeah, have a good one.
Sorry to bring up bad memories, man. You're the best. See you boys later.
Oh, no,
later.
You did
Goodbye.
It on purpose. I respect that,
I did.
Though. That was,
you're right.
That was pretty cool.
See ya.
There he goes, Andrew Philippon. All right, there's a lot to unpack there. All right, 215-592-9494. So Andrew's a host in Pittsburgh, 93.7. We got to hit the TJ Watt thing first, because he brought something to the table that we had not considered. Because we've brought him up before, Hugh. We've we've discussed, like, the Watt. I mean, Garrett obviously re-signed in Pittsburgh. But we've discussed this kind of
thing. I thought it was kind of strong that he felt Watt was better than Garrett.
He's also a Steeler fan, so maybe he's kind of riding for his guy. So he brought up something there that I don't think we've really broached before, right? So because we've talked about Myles Garrett, that's off the table. We've talked about Trey Hendrickson. We know how you feel about Trey Hendrickson.
Yes.
Yeah, then luckily, Kyle's not there. Buzz might be able to find the trade drop, but that's okay.
Yeah, I like how you set Buzz up. He's going to find it.
Yeah, maybe if he finds
it. I triggered Buzz this morning, so he's probably out to get me.
Yeah, hopefully he is. But we know you like Trey Hendrickson, okay?
Yes.
But T.J. Watt, of all of them,
he's a difference maker.
Might be the most available because yesterday, you would think on the day they traded for Jalen Ramsey, right, that they're going for it.
And it feels like that.
Yet they still can't figure out the contract with him, and this might end with T.J. Watt gone. So we've discussed before trading for a guy like T.J. Watt, and then you always say, well, what about the money, right? Long-term, what about the money? But the idea he just threw out there was one of the most interesting things I've heard on this. What if it's Nolan Smith and a late-round pick? Because part of when we talk about this, what do we always say? They got to pay all these guys, right?
Yes.
Well, if Nolan Smith's not here, you don't have to pay him. So it takes one guy that we think is going to get some good money down the line out of here. Now, I like Nolan Smith, and Hugh, I'm not championing to trade him for no reason. But that idea is interesting. Nolan Smith, who is, I say, promising and came on extremely fast at the end of the season, right?
He was
great in the playoffs. He had some of the best playoff numbers we've ever seen for
as a pass rusher.
Right, he had a great postseason run. But he still has not done anything in terms of a full year of excellence, right? He's only been in the league 2 years. He hasn't had one of those years yet. T.J. Watt's on his way to the Hall of Fame. He's put together 6 years of amazing football. Would you trade Nolan Smith and a late-round pick for T.J. Watt?
You make a compelling argument, Joe. And normally, when you say it like that and you present it like that, I would go with you with that. But it doesn't play into the defense as a luxury, not a necessity situation. And the reason why I say it like that is this. You're going to have a high-priced, older player that, he has a Hall of Fame resume, no question about it.
Yeah, of course he does.
But Nolan has a tremendous upside, and as of right now, he's much cheaper. And something that Andrew jumped out to me that he said, they spent $179 million on the defensive side of the ball, and the Eagles only spent $65. And I know people don't want to hear this, but when I talk about defense as a luxury, not a necessity, that's exactly what I'm talking about. More bang for your buck. You're getting more bang for your buck with a lesser paid defense that was ranked higher than the Pittsburgh Steelers.
So I knew I was upset when he said that.
Yeah.
So I understand your thought on that. I just want to point out, though, Nolan Smith is only much cheaper for a short period of time.
For the short period of time.
He and Jalen Carter are eligible after this season for contract extensions. Now, he's not going to get as much as Watt, right?
Mm-mm.
Because he hasn't done this for as long. I don't know. If Watt wants 40 and Nolan has a good year, what is he going to get? 20? 20 a year?
Maybe.
Okay, so maybe it's half. But I just want to make sure as we have this discussion, he's not going to be this cheap for much longer. Nolan is one season away from his first contract extension.
But he's going to be cheaper than a T.J. Watt.
Well, yeah, you would think.
And here's the thing. This is what I need people to understand when I say defensive luxury, not a necessity. As a defender, as a guy who played in an era where, pass rushers were at a premium and they made a lot of money. They still make a lot of money because that's just how the league goes, but they're rotational players now. Now, when you talk about a guy like Jalen Carter, he's a generational talent in the sense that he plays mostly every snap, but all the guys around him, the other pieces around him, they're interchangeable. He's not. And that's why he's going to command the type of money he's going to command.
But what if we have two of them?
Well, that's the thing.
Because that's what Watt would be with him.
Well, that's the thing. Watt, you like what he brings to the table, but you don't know if he can consistently bring that every down. And I think that's why the Pittsburgh Steelers are really playing hardball with him.
So I thought last year he declined a little bit, if we're being fair. He still finished fourth in defensive player.
No, he is. But when you talk about that kind of money, and this is why Myles Garrett got more, because he's a little bit younger, and he's still in, the sweet spot. I get what you're saying, and you know how I like T.J. Watt, but when you talk about the financials and what has been brought to the table as far as how much they spent on defense and what T.J. Watt is going to command, you're better off with Nolan Smith, in my opinion. Might not be as productive, but as a collective in the group, still a really, really good defense.
Well, it can be, and a lot of people think it will be. But that would be very hard for me to turn down.
No, I mean, I get it. But then, you know, you got to think about that financial part of it.
So if it was – and if we were just operating off of the draft picks, then the idea of a lot of draft picks and the contract, I'm like, is that worth it? Nolan Smith – and I really like him. I mean, I threw out that thing a couple weeks ago where I tried to guess the top 11 a few years from now. Yeah. He was on mine. Like, I think he's going to be a really good player. I think the playoffs were the beginning of it for him. I'm a Nolan Smith guy. But T.J. Watt and Jalen Carter.
I get it.
I mean, you might as well just put us back in the Super Bowl. I mean, like, if the Eagles have those two guys and they're healthy in the secondary and Zach Bond does what he does last year, I think they'd be back in the Super Bowl.
I know you got to go real quick. Well, what if I told you Nolan Smith is probably going to be a better pass rusher than he was last year because he came on strong at the end of the year.
He did. But is he going to be T.J. Watt?
I think that's a lofty expectation.
Yeah, well,
but
of course
I think he would be – pretty damn good.
All right, Buzz, where do you come down on this? The idea there that was just thrown out by our guest, would you trade Nolan Smith in a late-round pick for T.J. Watt?
I think I would. I mean, we lost a pass rusher in Sweat. We lost one in Milton Williams. You go improve your defense, impact player. Listen, I like Nolan Smith, but you have a chance to go get T.J. Watt? Like, I'm not holding back because you're losing Nolan Smith.
And like, he's still... If I were to rank the pass rush in the NFL,
he's still one of the elite pass rushers.
I mean, he's
no
there.
Question.
And
no question.
As much as Nolan Smith was awesome in the postseason, we haven't seen it. You know, it's funny he brought up the Justin Crawford thing, which is interesting too. But it's almost like trading a prospect. Like, Nolan's more than a prospect. He's done it. But it's like a guy that came up in for the Phillies and played well for a half a season. Do you trade that guy for an established star? 215-592-9494. Your phone call's on the other side. Bryce Harper, we'll let you hear what he said yesterday if you missed it. Bryce Harper is back. Are you expecting him to be the Bryce we're used to? I'm not. I thought it was a very ominous return for Bryce Harper. Not the, like, wow, he's back, but more the, he's back, but it doesn't sound like he's ready to be back, or at least confident he's ready. Your expectation for Bryce Harper, are you expecting our typical Bryce that we get? And the trade that was just thrown out, the idea was thrown out. Andrew Filippone in Pittsburgh, he was on with us a few minutes ago. Would you trade Nolan Smith and a late-round pick to get T.J. Watt, who seems to be very available right now, and they have not figured out that contract, even though they're bringing in all these big names? 215-592-9494. I would do it, even though I really like Nolan Smith. Hugh would not, because, you know, defense, luxury, and all that kind of stuff. It is the Midday Show, live from the DeBoer Heart and Lungs studio broadcast booth on Sports Radio 94 WIP.